So I want to talk about baptism and children. And really, you know, I've been here for 9 years. My convictions on this have changed. So part of me kind of bringing y'all in here is to say, you know, I feel like my mind has changed on this issue, and it shifted. And so as our children are getting older and getting to the point where they're going to start wanting to be baptized and you're going to be thinking about that decision, I just kind of want to put this stuff on your radar as to what I'm thinking about baptism. Okay, so why do we are Baptist? We don't baptize infants. Now, the reason we don't baptize infants is because the New Testament church baptized believers. We don't have evidence of children being baptized. Now, we understand that in the Old Testament, the sign of circumcision was given to infants, but it does not seem that that practice of giving the sign of the covenant, that we could call baptism and circumcision, were signs of the covenant. It does not appear that that was given to people who weren't born again. And we know children are not born again. If they're an infant, they've never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, so we don't baptize them. All right. Throughout Baptist history, how long have Baptists been around? Well, not very long. All right, the actual formal Baptists, we've been around for about 500 or so years. But in Baptist history, normally in Baptist churches, throughout most of this last 500 years that people have called themselves Baptist, they waited till children were quite older, even in their teenage or young adult years, before they were baptized. Baptizing young children was rare. And yet, between 1977 and 1997, there was a 250% increase in the Southern Baptist Convention of baptizing children under six. And I think that that has just become something that's been more common in our growing up and in our lifetime, is that children get baptized at younger and younger ages. So that's kind of changed in Baptist life. So what do we need to think about when we think about our children wanting to get baptized? We want to see our children come to Christ, and that's a good desire. You need to teach your children the gospel, and you need to plead with them to come to Christ. But we need to be equally concerned about our children having a false assurance of their salvation. And there's a lot of pressure on parents and on pastors to baptize children. All right. And yet I just was standing in the front of the church, and a young lady walked up to me and said, what do you think about rebaptizing? And I said, well, you know, I'm open to that. What's the circumstance? And she said, when I got baptized when I was young, I didn't do it for the right reasons. I didn't know what I was doing. So how many times have I heard that? A lot. And how many times have I baptized someone that was baptized as a child? A lot. And when we do that, I tell Jan, don't report that one to headquarters, because they've already been counted as a baptism. But I wonder how many baptisms that the Southern Baptist Convention has that are rebaptisms of people who didn't know what they were doing. And they come to a conclusion, wait a minute, I'm just now getting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm not saved. I wasn't saved. I mean, John, didn't you get baptized just because everybody else was doing it?
He wanted the cracker and the grape juice.
He wanted the cracker and the grape juice. You're incorrigible. So we as parents, so kind of saying, as pastors and parents, we want them to be saved, and we're acknowledging that there's pressure to say yes, these kids are saved. I feel that, and so I'm kind of doing this presentation to kind of put that on you, to let you know that I'm feeling this way, because I want us to be the best spiritual stewards that we can be for your children's souls. And we don't want to give them false assurance of their salvation. Okay? Consideration for the child. We don't want to pressure children for quick decisions. We don't want to get all the third graders to sixth graders in Bible school, get them together and say, okay, who wants to go to heaven? Raise your hand. And then baptize them. We want the children to show in their lives to their parents that they understand what it means to turn away from sin and to put their trust in Jesus. I want you to feel good as a parent before your child is baptized that this is what's happened, that they have been converted. On the other hand, so we want to wait until we see that. On the other hand, if God's working in a child's life and that child is displaying signs that they're converted, We don't want to just keep putting them off. Because what happens is in their mind, they start to think that they're having to earn salvation. Well, I'm saved. God's working in my life, but my parents are telling me that he's not. We don't want them to have. So do y'all see where we have a balancing to do between we don't want to confirm their salvation if it's not there, but we don't want to deny it if it's there. So we baptize in this church based on a credible confession of faith. Now, when an adult comes, do we know if their confession of faith is credible? No, we still have to watch their life. But children are different, and we'll talk about that. Why are we concerned for the church? Well, the church is concerned. So think about you're a parent, and so you have parental concerns about your kids. You want them to go to heaven. You're also a member of the church. And so as a member of the church, we have to protect the gospel. Does that make sense? We guard the gospel. Now, one of the ways that we don't guard the gospel well is if we bring people into the membership of the church who are not Christians. If they're just, say they're Christians, if they're just Christians in name only, if they're nominal, then what we're saying is that we don't really believe the gospel, because our church believes only saved people should be members of the church. As best as you can tell, based upon their credible confession of faith and that they don't live a life contrary to that, okay? If we allow unregenerate church members into our church, then we're threatening the gospel message and we're threatening the witness of the church. Now, it's easier when an adult comes to kind of assess their conversion. It's easier because they're an adult. I mean, we can see a change in their life a little bit easier. With a child, it's hard because they're immature. Their brains are not finished developing. Their faith is really closely tied to your faith. They're watching you. They're taking their cues from you. You're the most important person in their life. They don't want to disappoint you. They want to do what you do. They're not independent yet, and they don't even think in abstract terms. It's hard for children of a certain age to even understand the gospel because they think concretely. All right? And we'll get to questions here in a minute if you have any. So, any questions thus far about what I'm saying? Has everything I've said made sense, whether you agree with the argument or not? Capiche?
Yes.
All right. So what are some good reasons why we
should... Why are you looking at me, Chad?
I don't know. You had a look on your face like, I'm not sure. I think this is true. So what are some reasons why you might wait to baptize your kids? Now, I'm talking like we've got a 9-year-old, okay? And, you know, if I was going to pick like a perfect age to probably wait until, I would say in my mind, as it's changed these days, I would say I would feel most comfortable baptizing a 12-year-old, all right? But Emerald, we have been putting her off for how many years?
At least two years
we've been putting her off. And so I've made it kind of a deal with her of, let's wait till you're at least in double digits. Let's get me to 10. And yet here she jumps in the car the other day and she's out sharing Christ on the playground and going through the ABCs with kids, leading them to Christ and having them pray the sinner's prayer and all this. So, I mean, she cares about the things that Christians care about. It's hard for me when she's a better witness out there than I am to say, I'm not going to baptize you. Right? But every child's different. We want to be waiting, and I feel like waiting till 10, we waited 2 more years than we waited with the other kids. That's a sign kind of our conviction changing. But why wait? Well, it's best because we would have more demonstrated evidence of conversion. And so we could watch them a little bit more as they become adolescents, because I'll tell you, once they hit about 13, 14, 15, it's like it's a different person living in your house. You don't know who they are. You're just waiting for them to leave. And I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. Older children and teenagers are able to demonstrate a deeper understanding of the faith without being confused. Once joining the church, adult believers have fond memories. They can actually remember their baptism as an event and a marker of entry into the church. And one of the positive reasons to wait, or one thing that helps us wait, is that we understand a child can be saved without being baptized. They don't understand that across the street, but we understand the Bible, that we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, by His grace alone. We're not saved by getting baptized. We're not saved because we take the Lord's Supper. Okay? We do those things because we are saved, and they show that we're part of of this fellowship, and we're enjoying membership in this covenant, and we're showing that we've put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But you can have a child who's saved. Emerald's been saved since she was 8 years old. I'm not worried about the fact that she's not baptized, meaning that she's lost. So we don't have that concern. That's why we don't keep we don't keep the baptistry full all the time, because we're so afraid that someone's going to die before we get them dunked. All right? So we can wait, and it's not going to hurt anything as far as their eternal destiny. So you're not doing anything wrong by waiting. Okay? And you're actually probably going to make that more meaningful for your child. What are some downsides to waiting? Well, we've talked about this, that we're almost telling the kids, I need to see that you're a Christian. I need this demonstrated that you've really become a Christian. And so they start to think that good works are how you become a Christian. And we don't ever want them to think that their good works are what's saving them. We want them to know that it's Jesus who's saving them. Children and adults might be discouraged if they're sinful and they're not showing fruit. One of the things, we don't want to wait too long because we don't want to distort the gospel, and we don't want them to think that they're not saved or that they can't be saved because they're still doing things, having bad habits, and so on. And then also, this is to me one of the big ones. I've got a lot of friends who are pastoring churches who withhold, and they won't even consider baptizing someone until they're 16, 17, 18 years old. And what they're basically, in my opinion, saying to their kids is, this is not for you. You know, and they have lower expectations spiritually for their children, and they don't train their children in spiritual things because they think that'll come along later. But we know that children's moral foundations are formed by about the time they're 10 years old. So we don't want to ever just say we're putting this off because you're not old enough to vote on church discipline or whatever. You know, they don't want to bring them in the church. They're saying if you bring a child in the church, you've got to give them the full rights of all membership and privileges, including if we're having a vote, if we're doing this. We don't think that. We don't let you vote here until you're, 13?
16.
You can't vote until you're 16 in this church. But we have reasons for that. We understand people develop differently. And so we withhold some privileges of membership, but we allow the children to take the Lord's Supper, you know, and be a part of the church, feel like they're part of the church. So what are some downsides to immediate baptism? We talked about the social pressure to confirm young children as Christians that may not be. Children getting baptized, not understanding the gospel, coming to a later understanding of the gospel and being baptized. We probably baptize many lost children because we baptize them too young, and they grow up with a false understanding of the gospel, a false assurance. They don't understand it. If we have children that are Christians and have been baptized, they are under the discipline of the church. You could create some situations where parents are at odds with the church over how to discipline their children, because when you're a member of the church can discipline you, and so can your parents. What are some positive reasons to baptize immediately? Number one, children are sinners and they need to be saved. Okay? Children can be saved. Christ invites children to come to him. He uses the faith of a child as an example for those who wish to come to the kingdom of God. Children are addressed in Ephesians 6:1. So Paul is writing to the church and he says, children, obey your parents. So we're presuming that they were members of the church when they were being written to by Paul. The New Testament never contemplates a disciple who is unbaptized. When people get saved in the New Testament, they get baptized. Baptism, Lord's Supper are intended for every believer. So I can give you the positives and the negatives. And then Scripture indicates, like we said, with the rights and responsibilities of a member, the Scripture indicates that the relative age and maturity of a disciple can limit or determine their participation in church life and responsibilities as members. There's places where Paul says, to the young women do this, to the older women do this. There's different roles that we have as we're younger or older. Okay? I'm trying to go through this quickly for you. More positive reasons to be baptized immediately. Immediate participation reinforces our understanding that salvation is a work of the Holy Spirit, and not just a decision by the believer. We're trusting that God's going to save the kid. And he may save one when they're 8. He may save one when they're 13. You know, so we want to be sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit. Immediate baptism can include a time of waiting. even as we've waited with Emerald for a couple of years, to make sure that there's evidence that the child understands the gospel and is giving evidence of conversion, or we can see a heart change. And children are encouraged to obey their parents, read their Bibles, participate in worship. I mean, it's good. We want our kids to get saved and grow in the Lord. It would be great if our children never fell away or went through a time where they fell away. Just got saved when they're young. I feel in many ways that's the way the Lord's treated me in my life. So at what age, so you're sitting here saying, well, what age then? What age should my child be before they get baptized? This is case-by-case basis because every child's different. But we have some principles that I want to ask you as you come to me and you say, what do you think about Kendall being baptized right now? Well, these are the things I want to go over. Okay? Are they confessing faith in Jesus Christ? And as you see their little life, because you know them the best, because you're their parent, don't put it on me to try to figure out if they should get baptized. You should be growing in Christ. You should be spiritually mature enough to discern in your child whether they've had a heart change. You and your spouse looking at their life, okay? Are you seeing confession and signs of conversion? And I'm seeing confession in your kids' lives. So when we do Bible school and they're writing on their cards that they want to be saved and they believe in Jesus, we're seeing them confess faith. You know, is it something that they're doing at the home? Is it something that you're seeing evidence of them becoming more spiritual creatures that are born again? The best way to tell if someone's really been changed is time. So parents assume a wait-and-see attitude. Have y'all been watching and waiting to see what the Lord's doing? What are we looking for? Well, does a child have a conscience that's convicted when they sin? I mean, that's a big thing we're looking for. So I want to, when you come to me, we're going to talk about these things. What's going on in their conscience? Are they showing sorrow over their sin? Are they repenting in ways that children can? Are they doing these? Are they demonstrating commitment to Christ in the face of temptation? Can they articulate the concepts of the gospel? Now, can a child actually give you a theologian's response to the holiness of God, sin, punishment, penal substitution, the imputed righteousness of Christ? They can understand more than you think they can. My kids can all explain this at a young age, how the gospel actually works. It's funny, I think some of our kids understand the gospel and how it works better than some of our adults out there. Like when I was talking about the imputed righteousness of Christ today, the great exchange, I can guarantee you there's people for the first time, they've never even heard that, and they're old. They don't know the gospel. And it's hard for us whenever people are so spiritually immature to have expectations of children, whenever people are just like, well, he invited Jesus into his heart. Well, that does not necessarily mean to me that he understands the gospel or that he's converted just because he said, I have Jesus in my heart. You know, that Jesus in my heart, that's not even in the Bible. When Jesus stands at the door and knocks, he's not knocking on the door of a heart. He's knocking on the door of a church and asking the church to let him in. Bingo. So what are we looking for? Regeneration, conversion, articulation of the gospel, a new life in Christ. And again, this is something that really parents are in the best situation to discern. You're with them every day. You're having those conversations with them. So the things we're looking for, you can't just come. I guess the frustrating thing is people come into my office and expect me to discern it in a 30-minute conversation with a kid. And the problem is, when they come to talk to me about wanting to be baptized, they sit down in the chair and immediately they lock up and they are afraid of me and they don't talk to me. And so I'm just like, well, I guess we're waiting because this child is not demonstrating any understanding of the gospel. Well, if I'm the gatekeeper on that by myself, that's not really fair because I'm not with the kid the way you are. So I'm trusting that we have a partnership here where you're not going to come to me and say, I want to be baptized. Now that we've kind of all talked about these things, you know, you're not going to come to ask me to baptize them whenever they're not giving evidence of that. Okay. Kind of the idea of memories in the first decade of life are hazy. We know that's true. A child who's baptized should be mature enough to understand the significance of the event, and they should be old enough to remember the event well. But they're still going to understand it like children. We understand it's still going to be a childlike faith, you know. Let's see here. So what can we do right now? Set a good example for your child of what it means to be a committed Christian. So they're going to learn the most about the gospel from you and the way you're living, and the way your home operates. So love Christ, be honest, speak lovingly, don't be a hypocrite, work on your own walk with the Lord. Understand, like we said, you're the primary disciple maker of your child. The church is here to assist you. Talk to your children all the time about the gospel and spiritual things. And ask them things like this. Well, so how does a person become a Christian? How does a person have their sins forgiven? Don't say, are your sins forgiven? Do you believe in Jesus? Because what's the answer to those questions? Yes or no. You want to ask them things like, how does this happen? What does it mean when someone says they're a Christian? And let them talk to you about how they're, and you can discern, oh, okay, they seem to understand this, but they don't understand this. So here I can give an illustration or talk about something so that they can know this. So all the time, Deuteronomy chapter 6, when you stand up, when you lie down, when you walk in the way, when you're traveling to town, all the time be speaking to them of the gospel. Model for them when you disobey, when you're sinning against them, repent and ask them to forgive you. And remember, in all of this, is that we know that salvation belongs to the Lord. And we have to so pray for your children that they'll be saved. And ask the Lord to save them and to demonstrate evidence that they're saved. All right, so you're probably saying, well, you just kind of told us that the answer to this question is you don't really know. And that's true. I guess I'm not trying to say that we would never baptize a child. I'm just trying to say we really need to think about all these considerations. It's not just your kid comes in and says, I ask Jesus into my heart, and then we take them up into the baptistry. We want to make sure that every child, and when you think about it, I mean, most people, they don't care, all right? But what I'm trying to do here with this is y'all are like the choir that has showed up. I think y'all are with me on this. We have to change the culture of the church on this one. We have to change the way the church thinks about how or when we baptize, because this issue, it shows that we take the membership in the church seriously. That church membership is about a covenant. It's about an agreement. It's about us understanding that we are obligated to one another. And to the extent that a child can understand that, we want them to understand it. But also, as we change the culture with children baptism, it changes the entire culture of baptism to where people understand what baptism really means. That if you confess faith in Jesus Christ, we want to see it demonstrated in your life. So that we don't wind up having a church where there's a bunch of people that are members of the church, but they don't demonstrate in their life that they're saved. That's a terrible witness to the community. And that shows what kind of gospel do you believe if you let people in that don't even believe it. And so, as we embrace a more meaningful church membership over these last several years, this is just another one of the dominoes that needs to fall.